You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
I will admit I have never used a coping saw, but I use the verb cope all the time in terms of what I am or am not coping with.
That's what they say. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth. Here with us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzon. Welcome, Ann.
Good morning.
This question comes from a listener named Scott. It sounds like he's working on an old house.
That's exactly right. Scott wrote, and he started by saying, "I adore your show. Thank you so much,
Thank
Scott.
You.
We appreciate it." And then he said, "I'm working on an old house, listening to your podcast as I try to keep all my fingers on."
Oh, no. Don't get too distracted.
Exactly, which would be great. And then says, "What came first, the coping saw or I'll cope with it?"
I don't think I even know what a coping saw is.
It's a saw that has a handle and the blade, and then it has sort of a U-shaped metal piece attached to it. I recognize that's not a very helpful description to listeners. Now, in terms of which came first, the fact is that the cope in coping saw and the cope in I'll cope with it are etymologically unrelated. Let me explain. Let's start with the cope in coping with it. This verb goes back to French. We borrowed it in from the French couper, and it meant when it first came into English to come to blows, to join battle, to strike. So you had people coping together, which meant that they were actually fighting with each other. From there, it comes to mean to contend with someone in a well-matched fight. So you still have that fighting meaning. But once you've got that meaning, you start to get a figurative extension where someone can just be proving themselves to be a match for something. And there we start to get closer to the current meaning of cope. And here's an example from 1875. The quote is, "Let the scholar measure his valor by his power to cope with intellectual giants." So the meaning there is to compete with, to contend with intellectual giants. But we can imagine how you can get from there to meanings that mean to face, to encounter dangers or difficulties. And that's where we start to get expressions like unfit to cope with the problems. And now we can use that verb even more generally to mean to manage, to deal competently with. And that's where you can say something like, "I just can't cope," which I can say. Can you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
All right. Well, in the 20th century, there was some question about whether it was okay to use cope without with.
Oh, I can definitely use it without with. I just can't cope.
I agree, and I can too. So I can cope with someone or something, but I can also just cope or not cope. Historically, cope was always used with, but by the 1930s, you started to see it on its own, as in just coping. There were some commentators in the 20th century who didn't like cope without the with, but at this point, if you look at usage guides, they say both are completely fine. Now, the coping saw comes from a different verb, also cope, and this verb refers to covering a wall with a coping, which is a ledge or a sloping form which would throw off the rain. And the coping saw comes from that meaning of cope, and the coping saw has been around certainly for at least 100 years.
Scott, thank you so much for the question, and try to keep all your fingers. And Anne, have a good weekend.
You too.
Ann Curzon is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.